Thank the Lord this morning. This is part four on faith. And this is titled, Faith to Put Our Lives in His Hands. I could have said faith for healing, but the truth of the matter is, God sometimes heals and sometimes He doesn't. So what we need is faith to put our lives in His hands.
Yes, help
me,
Lord.
So we want to start in Luke 5, 19 through 25. A little incident that happened with Jesus. It says, and when they could not find what way they might bring Him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let Him down through the tiling with His couch into the midst before Jesus. And when He saw their faith, He said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take thy couch, go into thy house. And immediately he arose before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house. Quite a spectacle. Letting somebody down through the ceiling, down before Jesus. And Jesus seen, and he said, it says he saw their faith. In other words, they weren't going to give up. They weren't going to just say, oh, it's so crowded right now, we'll try another day. They were going to say, they won't let us through. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself because the crowd is so great and nobody's being courteous. I'm not going to do that. What he said is they let him down and he saw their faith. But then he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then the Pharisees said what they said. Who can forgive sins but God? And then I want us to pay attention to what Jesus said. Whether is it easier to say? Which is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk? What is easier for Jesus to say? Is there any difference? There is no difference. One of them is not easier to say for Jesus than the other one. Why is it that we all have faith to believe to be saved, but we feel like we lack faith to put our life in His hands? See, it's the same with Jesus. It's just the same thing. He answers one way or the other way. There's no special faith for this and special faith for that. It's all the same faith. It's faith in God, who He is, what He is. But our problem is that we feel like you have to have extra special, high energy faith to be healed, to be able to trust your body to the Lord, but you don't. It's the same faith that when you knelt at an altar that day and you believed that God could change your life. It's the same faith. I believe God can change the condition that I have. I believe God can do something about this. I believe He can bring me out on the other side of this. I believe this. So in Matthew 12 and 15, we want to pick up a scripture here. It says, but when Jesus knew it, He withdrew Himself from thence, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. I want you to take note. He healed them all. He didn't pick and choose. He didn't say this one here, that one there. He healed them all. Then I want to pick up a scripture in Acts 5, 15 and 16. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they healed every one. I want us to take note that not only did Jesus do it, but his servants did it also. They were able to perform the same way that he did. Now let us go on to the scripture that we base our understanding of what to do when we're sick, James 5:13-18. James 5:13-18. Is any sick? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. In other words, when things happen in our lives, there's certain things we should do. If we're afflicted, if something is coming our way, something is giving us trouble, it says, pray. Just pray. It says, if you're having a really good day, then sing songs, thank the Lord, praise him, whatever, you know. In other words, there's things to do no matter what kind of condition or what kind of day we're having. It says, and then it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. In other words, if he brought it on himself. Oh, haven't we brought some sicknesses on ourselves, dear ones? Some of us may be suffering today because of some sicknesses we brought on ourselves. But I want you to know that God forgives those things. He forgives those things. Okay, so it says here, is any sick among you? Any. And then it gives instruction. It says, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've said it before, must tell you again. It's wonderful to have a prayer line, but it's not scriptural. Do you understand? It's not scriptural. The scripture says, when you're sick, call. Don't expect somebody to call you. Somebody gets word that you're sick, and they're supposed to call you and check up on you. That is not how it's supposed to go. God laid down very specific instructions. If we want the results that God has, then we must follow the instructions. Amen. The instruction says, call. Why? Because this is what is happening. The reason you're calling is because your faith is already acting. Your faith is already working. See, it's already active. Call. People say, I don't want to put anybody out. Put somebody out. Why? Because do you know that the saints through the years have had to go into many, many dangerous situations. There have been diseases and outbreaks of things like cholera, like that, on the national campgrounds. Do you realize this? There have been things that have been horrible things. And the ministers and the elders are still called. And they have to exercise faith to go. Amen. You see what I'm saying? It's both faiths. Okay, so your active faith is call. Their active faith is go. Now you have active faith on both sides. This is the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous. It's the faith working on both sides. It's coming together, meshing together, and everybody looking up to God at the same time. We heard the other day, somebody, and I don't remember who said it, it was probably Saturday morning, we heard that they had sent out a prayer request, and then it finally got sent 3 or 4 hours later. Okay, So none of us knew. None of us were praying. They were praising the Lord because they said the Lord knew. So the Lord touched it before it actually got sent. And when it got sent, we're all praying, thinking that it's happening right now. And it's not. Do you see what the difference is? See, call for the elders. Because then everybody is on the same page. We're all there together. It's all working and meshing together. These are instructions. If we do not follow these instructions, we cannot expect the same outcome. It's important. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith is, you have called. I have answered. We have joined together with God. And our faith meshes together, works together, and the Lord hears. The night that I was had that attack in my kidney, and I knew I was in trouble. I don't think I sent out anything on the prayer line. I don't think I did. But I sure started calling the saints, and I said, I need help, and I need it right now. Come. I need help. I need it right now. And I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6, I don't know how many showed up. And they went to praying. And they had to pray and be with me pretty much through the night before the Lord saw fit to touch enough for them to be able to start to leave. You see, there's battles to be won. And do you know what? The Lord doesn't want you to be alone in the battle. See, he doesn't want you to be alone. You send out a prayer request on the prayer line, and don't get me wrong, I think our prayer line is good. Yeah. I just don't want it to replace what God has.
Amen. Help us, Lord.
And so when you call, then we can fight a battle, see, together. You can fight the devil off of me because I'm sick, I'm suffering. I hardly have strength to fight at all. My mind is taken up, I'm in pain, whatever. I need you to fight it for me. I need you right there in the room fighting off the devil off of me while I'm going through this. Is it any wonder that sometimes we don't have the results that we want because we're fighting by ourselves? That doesn't mean there's not other people praying. There are other people praying, but we're not in the same. We're not linked together. We're not right there together. God said, together. This is what he said. Together. It is important that we don't deviate from what is taught here. So, consequently, there are some things that we're going to pray through on our own. Because we don't feel the need to bring in others. We don't feel the need. So, we send out on the prayer line. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that at all. We have to fight our own battles lots of times.
Yeah.
But see, when things start to get serious, amen, God wants you to know you need help now.
Yeah.
And I have provided a way for you to get it. And you need to do it and operate this way. And yes, you're going to have to fight your own pride. I don't want to bother them. You know that's just pride on your part. I'm telling you, it's just pride on your part. There are extenuating circumstances. There are times when people can't come. There are times when we might have to be on the phone together. There are times where we might have to just let somebody know and we just have to trust they're praying with us because we're in a meeting, we're in school, we're somewhere and they can't just come in. We can't just have these people marching into the classroom and doing something for us. You see what I'm saying? What we're talking about here is any sick. See, in other words, really suffering, really going through something. Yes, we have to fight some of our own battles, but then there is a time that we need to call. And you know, the saints used to call. They would call. And you know, people used to go and they used to stay there for days and sometimes weeks. There were certain families, ministers and their wives, that spent a lot of time traveling. He didn't have a job. They spent a lot of time traveling from place to place and living in the house of the sick person until they were well, and then moving on to the next place that called. They did that, plus all of the camp meetings in between, plus all of the, these are things that used to be. And they used to be great results. There used to be things that people were prayed out of. We cannot let go the things that God has provided for us. And we have to understand the significance of it. All right. In the 17th and 18th verse, it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So what we prayed, what we talked about last Sunday, here we're talking about this faith to be healed. And he's saying, listen, it's the same faith that moves mountains. It's the same faith. It's not a special faith that all of a sudden we have to have. No, it's the exact same faith you've been using every day just to live saved. It's the same faith. It's not special. It's the same faith. And he wants you to know, just like what he prayed for rain and then has nothing to do with sickness. He's talking about faith. It's the same faith that moves mountains, sickness, works with our attitudes, everything that happens to us in salvation. It's the exact same faith. There is no special faith for this and special faith for that. This is faith. Okay, then we want to pick up a scripture, Matthew 17 and 21. It says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. I believe that fasting, if we're not careful, is going to become a lost art among us. It's going to be lost. That there is power in fasting. There is power in denying yourselves and putting yourself before God. There is power in it. He said, this kind doesn't go out. He was talking about an evil spirit. And he was saying, this kind does not go out. Do you hear that? Does not. Goeth not out. Impossible to get rid of. Can't make it go. Do you understand the words here? But by prayer and fast. Oh, listen. We're going to have to fast for ourselves. We're going to have to fast for others. The things that are happening in our children's lives and the things that are happening, we need to fast for them. We cannot let this go by. And it's the same faith. It's the same faith when I'm fasting. It's the same faith when I'm asking for healing. It's the same faith when I just have a problem in my spirit today and I need you to help me, Lord. It's the same faith. But this fasting, we need to exercise fasting. There are many, many saints that have a particular day of the week that they always fast. They fast every Monday or every Wednesday or every whatever day. And then should anybody else call and say, call out a fast or something, they fast on that day too. So now they fasted 2 days this week. I'm going to tell you what Brother Leslie Busby said one time in Guthrie as he was preaching in the meeting, and he was talking about fasting. And then he added this footnote. He says, you have a problem with eating? You have a problem with being too big? He says, fasting is the answer. That was a little shocking to me. I have to tell you. It was a little shocking to me. And I thought, what? Wait, what? What are you saying? God has a way.
Yes.
But that's what he said. And we have to realize that God has a way of dealing with us and working with us in our lives, helping us. And this fasting, we need to quit being so in love with food that it's hard for us to fast. You know? When we're sick, it's not hard for us to fast. Oh, we're nauseated, it's not hard to fast. You know, we're burdened down with cares, and oh, we're just sick to our stomach over something, not hard to fast. But oh, everything's going smooth. Oh, what, a fast today? I thought I was going out to lunch with Sister So-and-so today. All right, so here's this prayer to put our lives in God's hands. The reason people draw back is because they're afraid to die. And we just need to admit it. We just need to admit we're afraid to die. Now, saint of God shouldn't be afraid to die. We're supposed to believe that there's something beyond death that is so much better than here. We sing about it, we pray about it, we have scriptures about it, we rejoice about it, we do all these things, but all of a sudden I'm sick and I might die. So man out there, in his wisdom, he sought out things. Sinful man always tries to find another way except to humble themselves before God and accept his power. They always try to find another way. They have sought out many inventions, many things. Do you know that there are some in the science world that say we are prolonging life past the capacity for our brains to be healthy? And that's why we're seeing more dementia. And that's why we're seeing more Alzheimer's, all these things. Because we are actually prolonging life. We are, you know, we're doing this and we're doing that and we're medicating this and that and the other. That we're preserving the physical body past what the mind can do. And so there's people out there that are in this state, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. That's what medical science says that we're doing. So the other day, last Wednesday, when Sister Juanita was having her attack. And afterwards, I got up and was talking a little bit, and I said, the God of medical science. I believe that that's what we're facing today, is a God-like figure of medical science. And everybody will tell you, people all over will tell you the same thing. That, oh, this doctor feels like, you know, he's just God. They act like they're God. They act like this. They act like that. I mean, this isn't something just that I'm saying. This is something you can hear. You can sit in a hospital waiting room and hear that. You can hear those things. It's man's inventions to prolong life because I'm not satisfied to let God pick and choose when I will leave this earth. I want to do something myself. I don't want God to choose. And who better to choose? Who better to choose? But we don't have to bow down to man's inventions and all. We don't have to do that. Do you know that statistics tell us that medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States? The third. The first being heart disease and cancer. The third is medical errors. But yet this is who we run to when we don't know what's wrong and we think they're going to know. No, they don't know. They experiment. They try to figure out what it is because they're not all knowing. They're not all seeing. It causes 250,000 deaths a year from medical error. I went in good faith, trusting this man and their minds and their medicines to work for me. And my loved one died. In their care, they died. We are a nation full of prescription drugs. Prescription drugs. I want to give you some statistics on prescription drugs. Why are people taking drugs? Because they want their symptoms to go away. They want their symptoms to go away. But do you know there are many people that take drugs to make their symptoms go away? Why do the doctors hand out the drugs? Because when they tell people, you need to lose weight, they don't do it. When they tell them quit eating salt, they don't do it. When they say quit eating sweets and all these things all the time, they don't do it. So they have a drug now that you can take. And what do the people do when they start taking the drug? They still eat the sweets. They still eat the salt. They still do all the things. They still keep on all the weight. They don't change one thing where they could change a lot of their symptoms to have, would they just do what is natural and good for our bodies? We could change them. But they run there to alleviate all their symptoms so they can go on indulging in things they shouldn't be having. I don't know why we all think that food is one area where we don't have to pay attention to what our body can stand. I don't know why we don't think about that. We understand what kind of exercise we should do and maybe not do. We understand when this starts to hurt, quit doing it. We understand all those things. But we all think, oh no, no, no. We should all be able to eat pork, and we should all be able to eat ham. We should all be able to eat bacon every day. We should all be able to eat whatever we want, anytime we want. It's food. No. No. God wants to help us to understand that you have an individual body made up of DNA that runs from two different people into you. And they have medical histories and medical problems and medical this and that and the other. And it's been passed on down to you. And you need to understand how to eat wisely for your body's sake.
That's the truth.
You have to do it. I don't know how many people I've heard say, you know, well, I'm taking insulin and everything, but what I do is, you know, but I'm going to go ahead and eat this cupcake anyway. You know, I'll just take an extra shot today. Do you understand what people are doing? They're still killing their body. They're still poisoning their body. They're still doing all these things to it, but they have received medication. So that's supposed to take care of it all. Prescription drugs. 28 million people over the age of 12 use illicit drugs in the United States. 28 million. One in 10 struggle with substance abuse. They prescribe uppers for when you're down. They prescribe downers for when you're anxious. Do you understand? But what did God tell us to do? He told us to bring those things to him. Yes. Let him cause us to cast our care on him so our anxiety comes down.
Yes.
When we're down, let us go to God and let us cast that on the Lord so he can begin to encourage us and inspire us and bring us up out of that depression. God has a way to handle all these things, but medical science, because people don't want to serve God. They don't want to go to him. Because, see, there's strings attached to all that. You have to live for him. You have to live for him to receive all the benefits. You don't get all the benefits if you're not living for him. They don't want to live for him, so they have found other ways. All the side effects. There are people that take drugs for this thing to alleviate this symptom, and this over here, they keep checking your liver because it could cause your liver to fail. By taking this drug that's taking away the symptoms over here, it could cause symptoms over here. There are actually some drugs that they say could cause lymphoma. That's cancer. And people take them. They take them. More people are hooked on controlled prescription drugs. Controlled prescription drugs, painkillers, that kind of thing. More people in the United States are hooked on controlled prescription drugs than cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine combined. See, you think all these people out here on the streets, they're on drugs. You think they're on cocaine, heroin, or methamphetamine. But some of them aren't. Yeah. Some of them started with a prescription to something. It only takes a couple of days to get hooked on a prescription. Mm-hmm. Because it's an opiate. Only marijuana has more users than all of these different drugs and even the prescription drugs. Only marijuana is used more. And what have our leaders done? They have legalized, and we talked about this in Sunday school this morning, they have legalized dazed, non-productive minds. That's what they've legalized. Because you don't take it as an upper, you don't take it so you have energy and you're doing this and that and you're working hard and all that. That's what it does. It does the opposite. So they have legalized dazed, non-productive minds. Just little sheep, so that I can do anything I want to you and I can pass any laws I want and you'll just follow along because you're in this dazed stupor. For the tax revenues, is why they did it. For the tax revenues. You just follow the money. That's what you do. In the USA is 5% of the world's population. But it consumes 80% of the world's prescription drugs. Do you hear what I'm saying? Is our country in trouble? 46 people die each day of prescription drug overdoses. 46 people every day. Do you know China one time was called the sleeping giant? Because they were full of opiates. They had opium rooms and they smoked opium. They smoked it all the time. And they were just a dazed population. And they called it the sleeping giant. And they have leaders that came in, and they put a stop to it. And they're not asleep anymore. Because what they have done now is that you get caught using drugs, you are a registered drug user now. You are forced into a rehabilitation program. Once you come out of there, if you go back onto the drugs and they find you again, you are jailed. And there's no sentence. Just jailed. Not going to have it. You can't control yourself, we will control you. And the dealers, they're just killed outright. That's their sentence, death. That's how they turned their country around. And they took all the places where they grew the poppies and all, and the government went in and planted other crops that the poppies could not be grown anymore. And do you know that there is still plenty of opium being grown in China? Because it is a cash flow crop. And do you know that Trump and the Chinese government are in negotiations to get them to stop sending it to America? You know that? Listen. Men have found ways, but they're not good ways. They're not good ways. Now, in Job 2, it says 2 and 4. It says, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that what's happening nowadays? They will find a way to get their drugs. Do you know that there are older people that will buy their drugs before they will buy food? And they're slowly getting weaker and sicker all the time because they're not nourished, but they'll make sure they have those drugs. They have to have those drugs. We are in a sad, sad state. And God, in the Word of God, provided us with everything we need with no strings attached, but live for me. Yeah. Live for me. We're already doing that. Yeah. So can we trust him for all the other? You want to trust all of this? You want to trust all of these things? These drugs, the doctors, because the doctors had to prescribe these prescriptions. They had to do it. They couldn't just get them on their own. Although there are street ones too now. Because people are hooked and they can't go to a doctor anymore. The doctors cut them off, so they have to have them on the street somewhere. But you know what Job said? In 13:15, Job 13:15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's what he said. Dear ones, we're going to have to get a mentality that says, if God doesn't answer, and if I'm going to die, I'm going to trust him anyway. I'm going to trust him anyway. I'm going to follow his plan. I'm going to do it his way. Because I'm going to tell you something. God knows you individually. Do you know there have been some that have gone out? Listen, there have been some that have gone out. Were sick, saved, sick nigh unto death. And they got scared. And they went to the doctors. And they went to get this and get that and everything. And in the end, they became unsaved. They were trying to preserve their life. And now, had they died when they were saved, they would have just gone on to be with the Lord. But instead, I'm going to direct it. I'm going to take hold of it. I'm going to decide. I'm going to make up my mind. I don't think the Lord knows what he's doing. I don't think he knows that, you know, I shouldn't really have this disease. I don't think he knows that I shouldn't really be having this. I don't think he knows how to take care of this. I don't think he knows how to do this. That's what people are doing. And you know what they say? They say, I don't have the faith. It's not true. You have the faith. It's the same faith you got saved with. It's the same faith that you pray and remove mountains. It's the same faith that causes you to fall on your face when you have done something that you know that you need to ask the Lord forgiveness for, and you believe that when you ask forgiveness in sorrow that he will forgive you. It's the exact same faith. There is no special faith. It's all the same faith. It's just I might die. Or I might be maimed. Or I might not work exactly how, it might not work exactly how it used to work. You know, sometimes God wants us to slow down. Yes. My husband was convinced that he had the hip problem that he had because the Lord saw that he needed to slow down. And he had to fight that for the whole time that he was living. He had to fight the pain. And he still could not hardly slow down. But the Lord knew what he had to do to slow him down enough to meet his justice. God knows what's best for us, dear ones. Do you believe he knows what's best? Do you believe that he knows everything? Do you really believe that we're going to a better place? Do you really believe that you're going to shut your eyes here and open your eyes over there and be full of everything that God has promised? Do you really believe it? Then why are you afraid to go? Why are you afraid to go? Oh, you know what, God? Let us grow old. Because it makes us more ready to go. Because this doesn't work, and that doesn't work, and we're slower, and we're losing our hearing and our sight, and we can't hardly walk, and everything. And people, it's so pitiful to see people all hunched over, bent over, can't hardly do this, can't hardly do that. But they're still striving to go get that medication, keep their heart pumping, because they're afraid. They don't have God at the end. They don't, but we do. What are we afraid of? We do. We have God at the end. Dear ones, so Abraham, it says he staggered not at the promises. Do you know through the whole Bible that there were people that staggered not at the promises of God? They didn't have a Holy Spirit back there. They didn't have Jesus. They didn't have all the written word. They didn't have what we have. Abraham trusted God for his son Isaac. Did he raise a knife? The three Hebrew children didn't worship life. They worshiped God. And they were willing to die for God. Daniel was willing to be eaten by lions for God. The prophets were chased down. You know, Jesus told all of the Jews, he says, y'all killed the prophets. The prophets were always running for their life. They were always having, you read in the Old Testament and you see the prophet, he goes and pronounces this thing and then he runs and hides because they're after him now. They were all hunted down. But they still kept doing what God wanted them to do. The apostles preached at the peril of their lives, and every one of them died a martyr's death except for John. They didn't look at life like we seem to look at it. They put their lives in peril to preach the gospel. And to go into this city and to go into that side. They put their lives in peril. And we're afraid to put our lives in the hands of God, our loving, caring Savior, that has laid down a way for us to deal with our sicknesses and our diseases and our pain and our suffering. And the martyrs, all down through the ages of time, the martyrs laid their lives on the line. And you know, right now, all around the world, there are martyrs laying their lives on the line. If they're found out that they are a Christian in some of these countries, they are automatically killed. If they find out that there's a Christian in a house, the neighbors will come and beat the door down and drag them out in the street and kill them. They don't love their lives unto death. Paul said it best, Acts 20. 24 and 25. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Who did he count his life dear to? The Lord. In other words, he gave his life to the Lord. I don't count my life dear to me. And what did he suffer? Oh my, he went through all so many things. He was beaten, shipwrecked, and this and that, and jailed, and chased from city to city, and ducking and dodging all the time. He didn't count his life. He still went out and did what God wanted him to do. Did it in his way. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace, of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. I'm headed to death. But he turned and run. Did he turn and run? No, he just told him. He says, you're not going to see my face anymore. I'm headed to death. And he went on anyway. You see, through the whole, all of the scriptures, it is taught over and over, all the way through the Old Testament and all the way through the New Testament, that people trusted God with their lives. Their lives. And we're going to have to do it the same way. And not turn to man, his inventions, his science, all those things. We're not going to be able to turn to him because he does not have the answers. And Philippians 1, 20 and 21, it's Paul again. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to live, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Game. Do you believe that dying is game? Then why are you afraid to trust the Lord for your body? If you really believe that dying is game, He says here, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. In my body. I have so given it over to God that he will be magnified in my body no matter what it is. If it's life, he'll be magnified. If it's death, he'll be magnified because I gave it all to him. I trusted him with it. And trust for our lives is taught all the way through the scriptures. They all did it. That's what they did over and over and over. They love not their lives unto death. That's what happens over and over. So for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So what are we going to do? Are we going to let the Lord choose? See, we're going to let the Lord choose. Do we believe he's a big enough God and he knows enough and he understands enough and he sees me and he knows the inner workings of me? Do I believe that he will choose what is best for me? And if it's death, it'll be just the right time. There might be something coming, going to knock me out of the race. There might be something coming that's going to be almost more than I can bear. There might be something coming. And you just trust him enough to allow him to have your life in his hands, put it there, leave it there, and not trust to all the other things and running after all the other information and knowledge and all these things. Do we trust him enough that he has all knowledge? People say, well, didn't God invent doctors? Why would he do that? Why would he need that? Why would God need that? He said, I'll take care of you. And then he gave us a way, if we're sick, that we can come to him and get what we need. Why would he do that? And you know what people say? You ask them, well, do you believe that even people that, you know, go to doctors, everything all the time, do you believe that if the doctors come in and they say there's nothing else we can do, do you believe that you can go to God and there is a chance that God could heal you? Yes. Almost every one of them will say yes. You know what we say to them? What we say to them? We say, we just start at the beginning. We just start at the beginning. If you can be dying and you're on your last dead bed and now you can believe that God can do something, we just start at the beginning. With the first little sign of pain and the first little sign of disease, we just start there. We don't wait for it to get all the way over here. We just start here. We can trust the Lord, dear ones, for our life. Life and breath came from God. We can trust him that at the right time, he will take us home. And it doesn't have to be scary. It is just a giving over of ourselves to the Lord and letting him have his way in our life, like we've been doing, because we've been living saved. We've been letting him have his way in our life. It's no different. It's the same faith. It's the same faith. I believe everything he says in the Word about being able to correct things in my life. I believe everything he says in the Word about he can heal my body. I just believe it. It's the same faith.